Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sbum Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world.
Well, I think every time we have them in some sort of trouble, they almost get out of that trouble, and then in that instance, that's where we lose a grip on the game, and that's how they get ahead. We haven't done ourselves any favors because of the nature of which we played in a pressurized situation where we had the opportunity to get in front of the game. It just feels as if we're always chasing, and against an experienced test team, when you're always chasing, you're bound to be behind the eight ball at a stage and be under serious pressure. So I think it's important to win key battles and just to hang in there. I think we haven't batted as well as we would have liked. I think with the bowling, we've done all that we can. And I also feel that we have been a bit unlucky at times. And then that's what gives them some more momentum as well.
With the last test match taking place in Joburg, with such a short turnaround time to the next match?
Well, it's difficult to find solutions when you are, not doing so well in your career, and us as a team, we haven't been doing so well, and you can get into a situation where you really overthink a situation where you overthink trying to find solutions. So it's quite tough to say what to do. But I think that the most important thing would be to stay positive and to play positively instead of playing as if you're behind the eight ball. Because there's many, many advices people can give you. There's always something wrong that you will be doing, and we're not perfect. So I think we need to be positive and we need to back our plans and try and play quite aggressively.
How do you shut away the noise? There's a lot of people, obviously, that the many, many voices that try to come through.
Yeah, it's difficult when you're not playing well and everyone will have an opinion on you. I guess, we've played cricket long enough to know how to get back out of a slump. But it can be quite difficult, especially when you are playing test cricket and a lot is on the line, and you so badly need to win and play well for yourself, for the team and for the country. There's just more pressure. So sometimes you can, overthink things, but I think it's just about realizing your strengths and what got you into cricket and playing, instead of, trying too many things in such a short space of time, because it's not really going to help in a short space of time. So we need to trust our abilities, and you need to trust your ability and play the way you know how to. And also, I think we've also smart enough to read situations. And as long as the team has got a clear goal and on what we want to achieve and how we're going to do that, you need to do that in your own way and, not listen to too many advice, too much advice.
What are some of the immediate areas of improvement?
Well, personally, I feel as if I'd like to be more consistent in my action, more consistent, and if I am more consistent in my action, it's going to, it's going to bring a more consistent output in terms of my delivery and more quality as well. And I think now is the time really where I need to put behind my rawness. I mean, It's time now to really try and clock my game and know my game really, really well. I think I'm going through that phase at the moment. And it's a challenge. It's never easy, but it's something that I have recognized, just to have that consistency. And then from there, that's where I can read the game even better.
Do you think most of the...
I think so, yes. Mentally, you need to be up for a challenge. You need to realize that when you're out there, you need to find a way. And that is important. Play the situation. And you don't want to really be thinking about your skill too much. I mean, we are international cricketers, and we have skill already that is quite, well-equipped or well-polished. So the skill is already there. But the new skill that you might be wanting to learn, you can, try and implement it, but it shouldn't be the first thing that's in your head. It's just about getting into the fight.
Yeah. How do you keep the doubts out at bay?
Yeah, as human beings, we will never stop doubting. But I think it's important what you want to strive for, what you want to achieve. So if you can keep in your head what you would like to achieve and what you're prepared to do to achieve your goals, then you will do it. It's important to persevere and have that inner belief.
What's the mood like in the team currently? How are the guys doing?
Yeah, not great. We know we haven't played well, and it really does hurt us. So, like I said, everyone in the change room, I'm 100% sure, are strong characters, and we just need to bounce back. But I think mentally, we need to get in a clear space, and so that when we get to Wanderers, we can really play without any second thoughts, and have a good idea of how we want to go about our situation.
Must be really disappointing.
That's something that I didn't expect. Whether it was the right thing to ban me or the wrong thing, the reality is that I am banned. But I have belief in anyone who's going to come into my spot. I have belief that they have the potential to knock anyone over. That's why they are picked for South Africa, and it's a special thing to get picked for the Proteas. I think, obviously it hurts, but I guess it gives me a chance to work on my game, and it gives me a chance to have a bit of a rest. Yeah.
Do you feel as though...
Understood the parameters of...
I mean, it can't keep happening, because I'm letting the team down and I'm letting myself down. So it just can't keep happening. That's why it hurts so much. So yes, I feel as if I am letting the team down and myself.
How will leveling the series?
Yes, always. That's why it's called a series. We can go there and have an unbelievable test match, and a few things can go our way. It's highly, highly possible, and it's quite likely that it can happen. As long as we don't lose our determination, which I think that we won't lose.
It's your last test series of the summer, in quite a few months away.
To be honest, I'm not thinking that far ahead. But when that time comes, I'll just reassess what I need to do in test cricket. But for now, it's just working on the basic fundamentals of my game.
Affect the team outcomes?
Yeah, so we were all together as a squad before the Centurion test match, and it was really good vibes. So those guys are coming back now, and it's going to be good vibes again. We're familiar with everyone that was here in the squad, and now when they come back, it's going to be like we're reunited. So yeah, it will be good to finish off with the whole squad being around and finishing off with a win.
It just can't keep happening. Yeah, those were the words of Kagiso Rabada. Suspended, of course, for the fourth and final test against England. letting the team down, he says, and he says it hurts and it just can't keep happening. Yeah, that was his over-exuberant celebration against England in the test after dismissing Joe Root in the test at St. George's Park in Port Elizabeth, which caused a lot of hoo-ha. And most surprisingly from my point of view is that the head coach or the interim head coach, Mark Boucher, in an article that was written by Daniel Gallen, admitted that he did not know the rules or had no understanding of how the demerit system worked. He said in his time they didn't have to deal with such issues, which doesn't only call into question his player's ability to control his emotions on the field, knowing exactly what the ICC rules are, but also puts into question the head coach's qualification and ability to lead an international cricketing team. And so here we are, the Proteas going into the Wanderers, the fourth test on Friday, looking to save the series down to one, having lost in Cape Town, lost at St. George's Park in Port Elizabeth, even though they won in Centurion on Boxing Day. Here they are, having to save the test. And, well, here I am, Sboom Jikeliso, on the Sports Live podcast with one of the best cricket analysts in the country. I'm talking about Lunga Mongezi, Rigo Bay Kupiso. Yeah, that's right. Rigo Bay is here with us, chatting all things cricket. And welcome, Riggs.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Spoo.
Good to have a chat again. Last time we spoke, we were chatting with Sinethemba Qeshile and Thando Ndini.
Yeah.
SA development side there in Groenkloof.
Yeah, good times. At a point where we were actually just watching some of the up-and-coming South African cricketing talents.
Yeah.
And just having open, authentic conversations with them. It's unfortunate that we're not having that kind of conversation today, because our Proteas, our dear Proteas, aren't doing that well.
Not doing well at all. The Proteas have not, in probably over two seasons now, they've not put together a score of 300 with their batting lineup. They've been bowled out for under 300 in majority of their tests since 2018, 2019. It is now 2020, and yet again, the batting lineup battles to put a score of 300 plus. And you have to wonder, what in the world is happening with cricket right now? That's a conversation I want us to have. But let's think about, or let's discuss Kagiso Rabada's comments there. He says the team is going to need to dig in to be able to win at the Wanderers without him. He's, of course, South Africa's best bowler. And he says whoever comes into his place will be able to do the job. Do you think South Africa has the muscle, the might, and the will, and the aptitude, and the acumen to get the better of England, bearing in mind that they might have Jofra Archer back for this one, bearing in mind that they have their tails up, they have the bit between their teeth, can South Africa pull the rabbit out the fire? And before you get into that question, I must remind you the last time they faced England at the Wanderers, Stuart Broad bowled some of the most, probably the most sensational spell, 6-wicket spell at the Wanderers. I was there, that I've witnessed in person, and absolutely obliterated South Africa that day. And and England, of course, won the series, clinched the series at the Wanderers. South Africa went on to win in Centurion later on, but it was academic because England had won the series. Now it's almost three back-to-back series against England, home or away, that South Africa has not won. Definitely not won this one because South Africa have an unassailable England have an unassailable 2-1 lead. But can they save the series and make it 2-2?
Can they save the series? You want to say yes because they're on home turf. You want to say yes because there's players within that side that have the talent to bat, bowl, in a way that they can get wickets against any international side.
Yeah.
Have they played like a side that wants to win it of late? No. England going into the Wanderers, a ground that they've turned it into their own. They've had results.
Their very own Lord's cricket ground.
Yeah, Lord's away from home. And I mean, there are jokes flying around that when the English travel to South Africa, they don't book a hotel, they stay at home. And the Wanderers has become a second home for them. I do not have the confidence that we can go to the Wanderers and get a victory. Maybe we can draw the test, but we definitely do not show signs that we can win. Our biggest ailment is with our batting. Not so much our bowling, but it's with our batting. Because your bowlers can go and get you 20 wickets. But if you can't put up scores on the board, 20 wickets matters not. It matters little. And when you are playing against a side that is a Stuart Broad, that is a Ben Stokes, that is a Jofra Archer waiting to come back into the side.
And Mark Wood with Dominic his skiddy.
Dom Bess. You are talking about international bowlers that can get 20 wickets within a session. That is the reality of things. And you are looking at a Proteas side that is betting like a side that cannot even survive a session. That's just the reality of where we are. And the only reason we are where we are right now is because we do not come to terms with reality. And we do not want to make the hard decisions. Mm. And that is just facts. That is just bottom line. I think rightfully so, England have their tails up. England have been the better side. Even when they lost in Centurion, for me, it wasn't as bad a loss as our loss was in Cape Town, and definitely now at St. George's. I thought they fought. They fought well. They lost to a better side in that test match. Whereas in Cape Town, we can't say that England won against a fairly competitive South African side. We went competitive at all. Same thing as at St. George's Park. So, yeah, it time will tell. Mm. And the fact that the turnaround time is only a couple of days doesn't help as well.
Mm, mm, mm.
What is scary is, once Vernon Philander goes, Kagiso Rabada will be the most senior bowler on the side.
That is true.
And for someone who is so young, still enjoying the phase that he's in, which is exploring what he can do with the red ball or the
even
ball.
Even he admits that he has a few work-ons to still understand his game.
Watch the kid at a hotel, if you get to be in the same hotel as a Proteas.
Mm.
Watch him at breakfast. Watch him at dinner. Mm. He's constantly in the lift.
Mm.
He's constantly practicing his bowling action.
Mm.
That tells you that he's still figuring out things. He's still in his head, not comfortable and not
still yet refining. At peace.
Yes. He's not at peace with what he has, which is good signs for us, because it means the hunger and passion is still there to want to improve. But once Vernon Philander goes, Kagiso Rabada is the most senior bowler. We'll be looking to him to spearhead this side without support, as he has done over the last two seasons. Now, here's a great opportunity for someone to come and say, when Vernon goes, I want to be the next incoming.
Of those opportunities, I wanna bring in the full squad here that's going to the Wanderers.
Sure.
This is the test squad as it stands now. There's been some movement, some up and down, some conjecture about Themba Bavuma's omission from the team. But let me read out the team. The final team that will do battle against England in this do-or-die series going into the fourth test at the Wanderers. It is Faf du Plessis, who's hung on to captaincy by the skin of his teeth, I have to say. Quinton de Kock is in there. Dean Alga, Keshav Maharaj, Rashid van der Dissen, Peter Malan, who came in as the opener. Zubair Hamza, whose position very, very tenuous. Enric Nohier, who seems like the best batsman in the lineup, although he's there as a frontline bowler. Dane Patterson, who I didn't think gave us anything different in place of Dwayne
Pretorius
when he came in at St. George's. Vernon Philander, who will be playing in his last test as a pro tier. In this game, we do bid Vern a fond farewell. I'll certainly miss him. Dwayne Pretorius is still in the squad, of course, even though he didn't play in the last test. Kagiso Rabada is in the squad, but he'll be a spectator because of a one-match ban. Themba Bavuma has been brought back from the four-day series. So have Andile Phehlukwayo, Baron Hendricks, as well as batsmen from the Knights, Keegan Peterson. Now, no Rudy second. He's been, told to remain in the four-day setup. And I'm also inclined to say Lungingidi might have been in consideration since there's no Rabada, but he's also been sent to a conditioning camp that includes John Smart, Sasana Magal, and a whole lot of guys there in that conditioning camp. Now, of this squad, who do you reckon will come in for KG? Do you think they'll bring in Dwayne Pretorius and keep Dane Patterson? Or do you reckon that they will try and maybe bring in Baron Hendricks, the left arm swing bowler, to add a different dimension? Where do you think they'll lean in terms of selection?
So I think the selection will either go one of two ways. One is consistency and guys who have already partaken in this test series, which would then mean that Dane Patterson stays and Dwayne Pretorius gets recalled back into the match day 11.
Mm.
Or they will go with Hendricks because he's a Lions player. He knows the Wanderers. He knows those conditions. And he's a left armer. So it's bringing someone in to bring a different dynamic onto the side. Because if you look at Patterson and Dwayne Pretorius, you're almost getting something similar.
Yes.
So it all depends on what the side wants to do. But I think I'm more inclined on them keeping consistency, and that would be recalling Dwayne Pretorius to come in because he can also hold the wheeler, or supposedly he's supposed to be able to hold the wheeler.
Do you think Keshi will keep his place? Considering the Wanderers pitch, which is very fast bowler friendly,
seam
bowler friendly.
For his batting ability, he's got that working on his side. And also I think in a test match, you don't want to go without a spinner.
Mm.
So Keshav should be able to keep his spot.
Mm.
If Keshav doesn't keep his spot, then it means Hendricks is definitely going to go in.
But
once again, now you've got Hendricks, you've got Patterson,
Pretorius
and Vern. None of those players have shown the ability to hold the bat throughout this test series. So
Vern can hold up an end.
Yes. Yes, he can.
But, I mean, we shouldn't be relying on Vernon Philander for runs, surely.
Especially not on his last hurrah. You know?
Yeah.
Let the man enjoy putting his feet up by the balcony. So I think in all likelihood, Dwayne will come in and Patterson will enjoy his second test match unless they want to go with a different offering with the left armor. Then Hendricks will come in as the Lions batsman. I'm not quite sure whether Temba
and Henry Mukhia as well might definitely be there.
Yeah, I don't think his spot is in danger there. That's why I don't even bring him in the conversation. the destroyer. But my biggest focus is whether Temba is going to get slotted back into the side.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the biggest elephant in the room.
Yeah, I think the fact that we're missing Kagiso for everyone is not really a big focus. Everybody's eyes is looking at whether Temba is going to get slotted in.
It's his home turf. His one and only 100 that he scored was against England, but it was in Cape Town. It was 4 years ago. And everybody's like, he hasn't scored any 100s since then. But if you look at Temba's role in this team, he has stemmed many a batting collapse in this lineup. I remember the tour to Australia where South Africa actually won, and I remember him holding up an end with Quinton de Kock making runs the other end of it. And I think the pair of them saved South Africa's bacon a number of times where you've had
tour to India
where he even had to open, you know, because the side was in so much trouble. And then now he was vice captain, and for him to be chucked to the wolves, told he needs a weight of runs. What about consistency in the team? What about seniority? What happened to having a guy there? Sure, he doesn't have the hundreds he probably should have. I mean, also he had a not out in Centurion not so long ago, and I think he was stuck on 90 or 99, running out of batting partners. But nobody looks at that. Everybody looks at the flat stats. Nobody looks at his contribution to this lineup that's been struggling. Don't forget, this is the same team that lost 2-0 a test series to Sri Lanka last season, last February. Sri Lanka were here and they got a 2-0 test series win, the first Asian team to do so on South African soil. Think of all the Indian teams with Sachin Tendulkar's, Rahul Dravid's, yeah, Muhammad, yeah, Azharuddin, all those teams, all the Sri Lankan teams with Sanath Jayasuriya, Sangakkara, Muralitharan, you know, Jayawardene, all those guys, they never won a test series, yep, in South Africa. And little old Sri Lanka, this Sri Lanka, wins 2-0 on South African soil. You know, it was an embarrassing defeat. You know, and here we are again.
You know what you struggle with in South Africa, Spoo, is,
yeah,
we've got two sets of supporters who sit on either side of the line.
Yeah.
The one side of the line, they look at the composition of the team holistically, and they understand the results. Those guys don't really have a big vocal.
Right, okay.
Then there's another group who sits on the opposite line, who scrutinize performances of individual players, and then they will give a rating.
Mm.
Those guys are the ones with the bigger voice.
Mm-hmm.
But where those guys fall short is that they do not apply the same criteria from number one to number 10.
Mm.
Certain players will get special criterias because they are happy to believe that they've got the talent and their, yeah, failures surely at some point will convert. And they look at other players as, well, if you are here, you have to prove to us that you belong here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the player before didn't have to prove that he belonged here.
Mm.
So that is the dynamic of South African cricket supporters.
Mm.
And the ones with the bigger voice don't necessarily look at performances. Temba has saved the Proteas from the face of embarrassment. Those kind of innings,
yeah,
are worthy of 100. We always say in cricket, that innings was 150-plus kind of innings, even though the final score doesn't say that. You look at a bowler and you say, he bowled well today. If it wasn't for him, Dale Steyn wouldn't have gotten a fifer.
Of course.
Wouldn't have gotten a tenfer.
Yeah, yeah.
Cricket is not an individual sport. As much as you look for individual contributions,
but
yeah, it's not. You work in tandems.
Team objective.
Who has been the biggest star in terms of batting over the last four seasons? As difficult as it might be to find a Proteas batsman who has been a standout.
I'd say Quinton de Kock.
He has had to have someone on the opposite end.
His best returns came when Temba was on the opposite end, holding up the opposite end and stemming the flow of wickets.
So we have not been fair to our cricketers on the same kind of judging criteria.
Mm.
And Temba has unfortunately been on the wrong end of the stick. Yes, his performances have not produced hundreds, but that is not the kind of marking criteria that we should be looking at his performances by. What have been the situations that he has batted under? What was his role and responsibility in those matches? And also what these people that are so stringent on his performances and expecting great results are not discussing is that he has barely had a consistent batting position in the side.
That's true.
He hasn't batted at three his whole entire life, within the Proteas setup, of course. He hasn't batted at four. He hasn't batted at five or six. He has had to jump around. And like you said just now, at one point he had to open the batting.
In India.
So, and anyone who goes to India will tell you, you can be the most glorified opener in the world or the most glorified number three batsman in the world. When you go to India, it's back to basics. That doesn't matter. You are thankful for the 10, for the 15 that you make in the 3 hours that you're out there for. We don't apply those kind of logic into our criteria as a particular group of South African supporters. And that's where our biggest problem is.
Do you think there is hypocrisy now in the sense that he was told now he's being looked into the ODI team? Last year he was getting 50 over runs, but for the World Cup he wasn't in consideration. And now that the World Cup is out the way, he is suddenly, and this came out of Faf du Plessis' mouth, that no, they're looking at Temba as part of their ODI team. I almost laughed because
he's
I think he's got two ODIs. He got 100 in his first one against Ireland.
Yes.
I think his average, he's got a crazy average.
I'll tell you now.
If you can bring it up on ODIs. And then he never got an opportunity again. So there was a clear consensus that he wasn't going to be part of the ODI team that went to the World Cup. And what happened at the World Cup? South Africa struggled again. Multiple collapses. One real score, which was by Faf in that nothing game against Australia. Probably the only time we'll ever have a nothing game against Australia in a World Cup game. So you've got the stats right here. Ah, well done, Mr. Rigobe. Please read them out to us, Temba's two matches.
Two what matches, they say? Two innings, runs 161. Highest 113, average of 80, strike rate 94.7.
So he's got 50 plus score twice in both those innings. Yeah. You don't get a better record.
I don't need to tell you whether that decision to starve Temba of white ball cricket was hypocritical or not. Which South African batsman do you know on debut scores 100? I don't care who the opposition is. And we don't have a big hype about it, and he doesn't get to keep his place going into the next match.
Nobody. I mean, Jacques Rudolph got his, I think it was his test century, double century against Bangladesh. He kept, they didn't drop him after that. Takiso Rabada got his first hat-trick against Bangladesh. They didn't say, oh, it's Bangladesh.
I don't need to answer. We are extremely hypocritical. And it starts from the top there at CSA all the way to the bottom. My nephew, who's 7 years old, who expects a Proteas victory. We are all hypocrites. Because, like I say, certain players we are lenient, certain players we are not lenient. Mm. Certain players we are fair, certain players we are not fair. Certain players we allow 10-meter shoestrings, certain players we only allow them half a meter shoestrings. It's never going to work like that. And here's where it screws up the player who comes into the side. He already comes into the side knowing, here, I don't have room to screw around. You don't expect that player to do well. Give a player room and he knows, here, I'm allowed to make mistakes. People believe that at some point I'm going to cash
you're
in.
You're going to get it right, yeah.
You're going to get the best out of that player. Typical example, when Quinton de Kock made his debut, what did we say? He's a
all
youngster.
Over the place.
Don't put pressure on him. Don't restrict him with all these terms and conditions. Send him to the team.
Just meeting.
Let him play his game. He gets knocked out for not for three. It doesn't matter in the series. At some point, he's going to cash in. What did we see? The best of Quinton de Kock that the world has ever seen. Set him up for IPL.
Three straight hundreds against India in his first three games.
That's what freedom like and that. Belief does. When you tell someone you believe them and your actions.
Just go out there and play.
My man, you get the best out of them. You say to the player, well, you've worked out to be here. You're going to have to continue doing what you're doing because, mate, if you don't produce the runs, you're not going to last. That guy is playing out of fear. What he's doing in domestic, he's not going to translate it in international because he knows, I screw up once, I'm going back home. That's just the reality of the matters. And, you know, we can say transformation is the biggest Achilles of South African sports. I beg to differ.
Now, I don't want to get deep in the transformation conversation. I think that deserves its own podcast, its own episode, which we'll get into. No. This summer is not going to finish without us getting into the big elephant in the room. But let's talk about Cricket South Africa as we close our conversation. What is happening with cricket? I mean, look at the old boys club. I'll put that in inverted commas.
That everybody's denying that it's an old boys club?
Everyone's denying it's an old boys club, but I mean, your spin coach is Paul Harris. I've never seen Paul Harris spin a ball in his life. I don't know who or what he was coaching prior to getting a Proteas gig. Your batting coach wasn't even in Port Elizabeth for the third test while, you know, the team battled and had to hang on with Keshav Maharaj and Vernon Philander, you know, just to put up a decent score to avoid complete humiliation. It was humiliation.
Mate, you know that you are staring
avoid complete
the barrel of embarrassment when Heinrich Nokia looks a better batsman than your top order.
There you go. Heinrich Nokia probably faced the most balls of any of the top four batsmen that were out there. So what's happening? Lunga, tell us.
I don't want to say the old guard is back in the context of they coming back to take cricket. But you cannot deny that the old guard is back in the sense that the old boys club is reunited. for good reasons. We are trying to turn the Proteas results around. Now, you say to a coach, you have the freedom to assemble a team that you believe is going to work well with you to get the results. Go. He has gone. He's gotten the people that he believes he can work best with. It happens to be the guys that he got along with back in his playing days. Those are just basic facts.
Is this the best we can do in terms of technical teams?
Yes and no.
Look.
What is our end game? Are we playing the short end game where we're trying to get the guys to mix and mingle and be mentored by guys who have done this and have gone on to take the Proteas to number one?
We're trying to get them to be technically and tactically superior.
Technically and tactically superior does not only rely on being mentored by somebody who has played for the Proteas. You need someone who also has coaching experience, coaching training. Not just playing experience. No, we don't. Those are facts.
Mm.
Yes, Mark Boucher has coached at domestic level, but without coaching training. The man does not have domestic coaching certificates. Those are facts.
Mm.
A standard that everybody else has to meet if they want to ever dream of the idea of coaching the Proteas.
Mm.
I sit here, I'm more qualified than Mark Boucher from a domestic certification point.
And I'm sure there's plenty of it.
Those are just facts.
Mm, mm.
Yes, he has played for the Proteas. Yes, you want to have somebody like Boucher in your Proteas camp because he has been to the darkest of places in the world playing cricket.
Mm.
And he has gotten some of the best results.
Mm.
You want to have that kind of guy in your environment. But he must also invest in being coached and trained as a coach.
Do you sense an arrogance in his stubborn refusal? Yeah, it's 4 years since he coached the Titans. Going on five. Five years.
It's not even an arrogance.
And they bought him a team of Proteas, laden with Proteas, junior Proteas.
My man, Boucher must look at Jeffrey Toyana and shake his hand and give him a big embrace because that Titan side had just acquired some of the best talent that Jeff had produced from the Lions. Those are just facts. Who were playing for the Proteas. I'm not saying he didn't have to work and do work with them to get the best results out of them.
Quinn is Jeff's boyki.
Morris.
Chuck Morris, yeah.
I'm trying to go back to our betting scorecard from Port Elizabeth.
From St. George's.
Eindruch Nokia in the first innings scored 18 of 136 deliveries. Only Quinton de Kock faced more, 139. Just three more balls than
him. Yeah.
In the second innings, Eindruch Nokia, where is he? Faced 19 deliveries. Only Faf du Plessis faced more with 123 and Keshav Maharaj 106. Your bottom order is facing more deliveries than your top order.
That is insane.
That is a problem.
That is insane.
That is a problem. Boucher hasn't helped his cause in the utterances that he makes in the media. I'm too busy to go to a CSA coaching course, or there are other engagements that have been. My man, you are a coach. Not just any domestic coach. You are a senior provincial coach at the time when he was with the Titans. You now come to the Proteas. You have to watch what you say because now people are already taking your remarks of what you said before and they're going to put them against you. So the guy simply has no regard of the people that have come before him and have worked hard to comply with the processes. You know why? Because it comes from a place of comfort. He knows.
And privilege.
He knows I'm not going to get judged based on what my papers say. It's, I am Mark Boucher. I played for the Proteas for X amount of years. That sacrifice and dedication alone for this country deserves to reward me the opportunity to be here.
All right. Rigobe. We'll have to close our conversation from here. It's the Sports Live Podcast with Lunga Kupi. So follow him. What's your Twitters and Instagrams?
Maybe I shouldn't do that because every time I speak about cricket, I always get, you know, tons and tons of messages.
You're an authority on the game, brother.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to tell it like it is not. On Twitter, it is @KupisoLunga. I block. very easily. But I am open to engagements. I'd love to engage.
Reasonable.
Reasonable. Throw your comments. Discourse. What do you think? Let's have an adulterated conversation, I think is
all right. All right. Thanks. That's Kupiso Lunga.
KUPISOLUNGA.
Kupiso Lunga. Well, you know me. I'm Sbu Mjigeliso at Sbu_Mjigeliso. Or use the hashtag Sbu Specials or hashtag Sports Live to catch anything and everything that I do. Also, take the time to go back and listen to some of our previous podcast episodes. I promise you, you will be enriched. The knowledge, the depth, the conversations we've had. I mean, Kirsten Lightman was a top South African female finisher at Dakar. And we had a sit down with her just weeks before she left for Saudi Arabia. Man, you just don't get better than that. I mean, we had Henry Olonga speaking about the death of Robert Mugabe, the man that forced him into exile. We had the East London 10, Skaran Tubeni, as well as Sikhumuzo Notcha speaking about the legacy of East London 10s and what it meant to host a tournament in their home province, the province that produced World Cup winning Springbok captain Siya Kolisi, as well as a whole host of others such as Makazole Mapimpi, as well as newly announced Sharks captain Lukanyo Am. And congratulations to Am. I didn't want to throw in there, I didn't want to make this about rugby, but hey, look, that's happening and I can't avoid it. So guys, please go back, listen to those conversations, enjoy the Sports Live podcast. It's all there, it's all for you, it's all free content for you to just suck up and devour and just enjoy. Yeah, this is me, Sbu Mjigeliso, and Lunga Kupiso are out for this episode.
See you at the bull ring.
Yeah, see you at the bull ring. Cheers. That's it from me, Sbu Mjigeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntloko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, it's goodbye for now.